This is a time that we've introduced into Synod, where members of Synod, voting delegates, and guests can ask questions of your bishop or bishops. And so there may be no questions, of course, but there may be some. And so for the next few moments, we'll have that time. Is there? Oh, the Chancellor is standing. He's also wearing a pretty snazzy bow tie. And I see a hand, I think, down the back. I can't. Okay.
Bishops, our parish, Church of the Holy Trinity, is a bit of an exception because we have one of the bishops as a member of our parish, and we see him rather frequently. But many of the parishes only see the bishop perhaps once a year, and their only other connection with the diocese, or so it seems, is when they come to an event such as this. How can the parishes have more of a sense of being part of the diocese in between the once-a-year visits of a bishop or the attendance at an event such as this?
I'll take the first stab at that. A lot of us have lived in organizations. It was called a church, but organizations where the bishop would come through once every 3 years. And as the priests, we had a really big job trying to convince people that this bishop was more than a confirmation machine. We are fortunate in this diocese in that our diocesan bishop is very mobile, and I try to fill in the gaps. So most of the time you will get a visit once a year. That's not a whole lot of visitation time. So this diocesan office puts out at least once a month a good newsletter. Clergy, if you could get that into the hands of as many of your parishioners as you can, that would be helpful. If we had emails of everyone, we could just plump that into the machine, and everybody would get contacts. So that's my first stab at it. Bishop, you might have something more.
Are there people here that do not get the Cana East email and would like it? Please raise your hand. Okay, if you have a phone of some description, go to canaeast.com and click on a little tab there that says sign up for the Cana East newsletter, and you'll get it from this moment, henceforth, forevermore, world without end.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's a really important thing to do, because it's a significant way for Bishop Dave and me and others to communicate to you. We just heard from Jamie Johnson, and Jamie, congratulations on your appointment. We announced that 6 weeks or so ago in the Cana East newsletter. Some of you will have seen it. So if you're not getting that newsletter, you won't know about that. And also specific ways to pray is another way you can engage in the life of the diocese. The diocese produces a Prayer East prayer calendar. It's available on the diocesan website. Most of the congregations use it in the prayers of the people, but you can use it personally as well to be praying for clergy, lay leaders, missions, and ministry in the diocese. At least once, sometimes twice a year, I attempt to produce an online teaching series. Some of you use that, I know, because I'm so very grateful to receive comments from you. Most of them are encouraging. In fact, Glory of God Anglican Church in Cocoa made a little video presentation for me of the people who had participated in one of the video series and sent it back to me, thanking me for that, and it was just tremendous. And that's one way that I'm able to also exercise my responsibility as a bishop to teach and to teach the church. Because of the nature of our diocese, we have to be creative in how we do that. So there are some practical ways that you can engage. And if you're hearing nothing from the diocese, you go and ask your rector, why am I not hearing anything from the diocese? And the diocese also very much values receiving your electronic newsletters. We get most of them, not all of them. And so if you can be sure that we're on your list, we would be pleased. Thank you. Other questions? Yes, Caleb. Oh, sorry. Hang on, Caleb. Clay, did you want to speak?
I'll speak briefly.
But I've heard today about very strong province, ACNA, and I sense a very strong diocese, Cana East, that contributes and ties to ACNA. I'm just curious as to what has become of Cana as an organization, as a whole, and what it's up to, and how it's financially supported, and all that, because I don't hear no mention about that anymore.
Okay, so we are a member diocese of the Convocation of Anglicans in North America, which is a missionary jurisdiction of the Church of Nigeria. I am the missionary or overseeing bishop of that convocation, appointed by Archbishop Nicholas Oko in consultation with the Primate of ACNA. Cana exists of three dioceses, of which we are one. Cana East, that's us. Cana West, Bishop Felix's diocese, they're meeting and having their synod this week also. We had and may still have among us representatives of the Anglican Diocese of the Trinity, who brought us greetings earlier. Those three dioceses are the diocese of the Convocation of Anglicans in North America. We also have a deanery of the armed forces and the jurisdiction of the armed forces and chaplains, led by Cana Bishop, my colleague Bishop Derek Jones, who brought us greetings to this body. And the this diocese is represented at the annual Cana Council meeting, which is made up of three clergy and three lay people of each of those jurisdictions. And we will meet next month at the Anglican Church in North America's General Assembly meeting in Wheaton, Illinois.
And so our diocese, Cana East, contributes to Cana headquarters. That may be confused because he's at the headquarters. But each of the three dioceses and the jurisdiction for armed forces and chaplaincies contributes to the Cana headquarters. So Cana is still very much alive and well and functioning.
Thank you. Now I will hear from Caleb Evans.
Thank you, Bishop. Bishop Julian, you were recently gathered with the GAFCON primates participating or observing their most recent meeting. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Question for you about that. My understanding is that at the most recent meeting, they made some significant decisions about episcopal oversight for Orthodox Anglicans in the UK. I'm wondering, in light of that, if among the GAFCON primates, there is a common hope or expectation of what the future of Orthodox Anglicanism looks like in the West.
Yes, thank you, Caleb. I would point everybody back to the JS, the Jerusalem Statement, and the JD, the Jerusalem Declaration, which are part of the fundamental declarations of this diocese, with Canon Kiangyang mentioned in his motion, which we passed. That to the GAFCOM primates, those two documents, they're one and the same, the statement and then the declaration, are the basis of what GAFCON exists to be and do in Anglicanism around the world. They're doing some very practical things. You heard about the Bishop's Training Institute. They're also establishing a church planting network. Yes, they've established a mission in the Church of England, and yes, they did announce in their communique that they would at some juncture consecrate a bishop, a missionary bishop, for ministry, particularly across Europe. There are a lot of Anglican congregations in the United Kingdom, but also in Europe, many of whom are outside of the structures of the Church of England. And so the GAFCON primates are saying, we feel that the time has come for us to do that. They've been wrestling with it for significant periods of time, at least 2 years. Last week in Lagos, they made the decision to move forward about that. It's significant to note that some, perhaps all, of those GAFCON primates are going to be at the ACNA meeting in Wheaton. I know Archbishop Oko is going to be there. Lord willing, he'll address our Cana Council as it gathers there. And so if you've got some openings in your calendar, the Archbishop wanted me to raise this with you, do come and be part of that event. It's going to be a very significant event as the scriptures are opened. It'll be like our synod on steroids. So come and be part of that event. And I think that signals, to answer your question, Reverend Caleb, that signals the vision, mission, and engagement of the GAFCON family around the world. Can we have a question from over this side, if there is one? May not be. Erica? Matt? Matt? Let's go to Erica.
You spoke very eloquently, Bishop, about the role of women in ministry in this diocese and across the province, etc. And you commended those of us who are in the permanent diaconate. I was wondering if you could elucidate a little bit more for the diocese, exactly what the permanent diaconate entails and how people can be encouraged to enter into it.
Thank you very much, Erica. And thank you for your mission and ministry to us in this diocese. One of the great challenges we have in Anglicanism is that there is not a clear understanding on the role of deacons and a clear understanding on the role of vocational deacons. In fact, at the synod, in Erica's presence, I asked the Archbishop to engage the College of Bishops of the ACNA on this very question, because I do believe there needs to be clarity about the mission and ministry and role of the vocational diaconate in the church. I'm, as you're obviously well aware, a strong supporter of the vocational diaconate. In the Church of Nigeria at this current juncture, we don't have the vocational diaconate. We attempted at General Synod 3 years ago to introduce the vocational diaconate, and that attempt was unsuccessful. I'm not going to ask my brother Bishop here how he voted, but I'll tell you I voted in favor of that. Because I believe the role of the deacon, as outlined to us in Scripture, plays a significant role in the life of the church. It's not just, it is a role as we gather around the Lord's table and at the Lord's Supper, yes, definitely, but it's a much greater role than that. And in our ordination service, we won't see this role expounded tomorrow because we're ordaining a presbyter, but in the ordination service, you understand very uniquely the significant role of deacons among us. And so I am one who is committed to engaging in that conversation in the Anglican Church in North America to be sure that the role of deacons is clarified, and also especially that we can have some level of uniformity about the role of deacons in our congregations in the diocese and across the province.
Okay, if you are a minister, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. 100%. We are all ministers. We are all on equal footing before the Lord as his ministers. Some are called to another ministry. It's called the diaconate. Would the deacons in the room please stand? Okay, if you're a priest, you're also a deacon, so please stand. Okay. All right. Okay, now, would the presbyters please sit down? And the deacons continue standing. Okay. The diaconate is a servant role. In our diocese, it's a teaching role as well. It's a preaching role. These deacons are wonderful ministers of the Lord, mostly bivocational. We call them vocational deacons. And they provide a great service to the church. And so I wanted to thank each one of you for your diaconate ministry. Thank you.
Any further questions? Yes. Lady Chima, how delightful to see you. Yes.
My question actually is that I do believe with what you said in the pastoral address that we complement each other. Over the years in the diocese, the role of the women have been very insignificant, especially as it relates to the clergy spouses. I was wondering if the bishops can please go back and think about involving us some more. We have a very amazing leader, Mama Brenda, who we could learn a lot from. Can we like have things like a women conference, giving us just 1 hour in a synod, which includes lunch, does not do it. Can we please have more involvement in the diocese that could also reach our churches? Thank you.
Bishop Marcus Dogo wishes to speak. We gave him speaking rights, and so we should allow the bishop to exercise his right among us.
I was just thinking that I should just chip this into it about the issue of the diaconate ordination. Because we are part of Church of Nigeria, I don't want you to feel bad that in the Church of Nigeria we don't accept women diaconate. Like from the northern part of Nigeria, is purely a cultural matter. It's not scriptural. And I know also in the eastern part of Nigeria, it's like that. It could have been very, very possible in the western part of Nigeria. We came from the northern part where you have predominantly Muslim. Now, whatever we do in the north is going to affect us directly or indirectly. Now, the next religion we have after Christianity is the Muslim religion. In Islam, you don't have female imams. Now, many of our people are converted also from Islam to Christianity. They can easily be ridiculed. I'm telling you, if the Church of Nigeria insisted on that position, maybe many people would lose their faith because they would be ridiculed and it become a very serious issue in the northern part of Nigeria. So that is why it's not feasible in the northern part of Nigeria. And I think in some part of the eastern part of Nigeria, it's not because we've seen anything wrong with it. No, it's a cultural problem. We have no scriptural argument for that. It's purely cultural. So please, you need to keep on praying for us. Maybe God will bring us to a time whereby we'll also be able to understand better and implement. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you, Mummy, would you stand for a moment? Because I want everybody to know, Mummy, that Mama Dogo here is a convert from Islam to Christianity. And that's significant because, as many of you are aware, that means she has lost everything in her family of origin. And so we honor you for your commitment to Christ and for your leadership of women in the Church of Nigeria. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Okay, so we've got time for one more question. I'm seeing so many hands. I'm going to ask the chaplain to determine who he gives the microphone to. The bishops are available to talk to you, so if you don't get your question in public, you can come and talk to us. We better go to the diocesan secretary because she works so very hard for us.
Thank you, Bishop. My question really is from everybody. What can everyone in this room and the congregations do for our bishops?
Big P-R-A-Y. It's been said that if Satan can pull down a clergyman, he can pull down a whole parish. It is also true that if Satan can pull down a bishop, he can pull down a whole diocese. Pray for our families and for us that we might exhibit a holy life dedicated to Christ.
Thank you. I'm incredibly grateful for your prayers. I'm unworthy of them. I thank the Lord for you and your commitment to Bishop Dave and I. Sometimes some of you send text messages to me. In fact, one Cana priest sent a text message to me just as I was about to stand up to give my pastoral address. I actually, he doesn't know this yet, but I included a portion of it in my pastoral address. That's immensely encouraging to us. And last week, to know when I was in Nigeria at the GAFCON Primates meeting that at least the clergy were praying, that was a significant gift to me. And so Brenda and I are immensely grateful to that. It is our sincere privilege to serve as your bishops and to share in the ministry of this diocese with you.